Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark again with the Age of Vision radio show. Today is February 2nd, 2018. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. Thank you for joining us. Our friend Barry Prince got a flu overnight and could not be here today. So I'm here and I'm sort of unexpectedly here. So I did dig up some stories, as I want to do, to share with you about the state of Age of Vision, because where are we? We're coming, the chickens are coming home to roost, folks. That is the hard reality for us. The first story that I saw when I first woke up this morning, even before I knew I was going to be on the radio show, was a story that says U.S. nuclear waste remains pour into the Pacific Ocean as radioactive remains leak from dome. This is that dome at the Eniwetok Atoll in the Marshall Islands that was used by the United States government to test 30 megatons of weapons. They tested 30 megatons of weapons, equivalent to 2,000 Hiroshima blasts between 1948 and 1958. A concrete dome holding the radioactive waste of 43 explosions is leaking into the ocean, veterans have warned. The veterans have warned, not the government. Veterans. More than 8,000 people would later work to clean up these Pacific islands, shifting 110,000 cubic yards of contaminated soil and debris into a blast crater. Wow. This 30 feet deep crater on Runit Island would then be entombed with a concrete dome 350 feet across and 16 inches thick. Not even 25 inches. What is it with these cheap Americans? I swear to God, they probably could have made it 25 inches thick and made it twice as strong. But now, with the dome weathered by decades of exposure, it feared that rising seas and storms could see radiation leaking into the ocean. Paul Griego, who took part in the cleanup and blames the radiation for a host of health problems, said the dome was never fit for purpose. He said, "We were given an impossible task, cleaning up the radioactive fallout from 43 nuclear bombs. When I first arrived, the dome's blast crater was open to the ocean. It continued to be full of seawater even after it was sealed off from the ocean. During my 10-hour workday, I witnessed the water level in the crater rise and lower as the tide came in and out. To continue, no attempt was made to drain the crater or line it before the radioactive waste was dumped into it. Sounds like Bechtel up in Hanford, doesn't it? This is so beyond outrageous how our government has allowed these nuclear criminals to disregard basic safety completely. This is so outrageous. Wow. Let me get back to this story. That just made my ears fall off. Yeah. That is just absolutely outrageous. No attempt was made to drain the crater or line it before the radioactive waste was dumped into it. The coral that created the island is porous, and the shock from numerous nuclear weapons tests had also fractured the coral. From the first day forward, the water has flowed out of the lagoon with the tide, creating a gigantic radioactive toilet that is flushed about twice each day into the Pacific Ocean. The storms were only making it worse, he said. I experienced the power of a typhoon while I was on Inuwatuk, he added. I believe the dome could be just one typhoon away from a breach. Rama Schneider, who drove radioactive waste from island to island in an amphibious vehicle during the cleanup, said it was no surprise that the dome was failing. He said, standing on any island at that atoll is akin to standing inches above sea level. And that was 1979. The sea level and ground level are becoming more and more to be the same. It doesn't matter if we're talking sea level rise, land subsistence, or both. Water will always win out, water will always win out over man-made objects. That actually is very grave. I'm going to keep reading. Gerard Frank Bolton III, who worked as a draftsman during his 14 months on the atoll and drew the construction documents for the dome, insisted to the damage to the structure was minimal. The dome was designed to slow the migration of radiation, but not to completely stop it, he said. Also, since the concrete is porous, the wave action and tides are continuously pumping radioactive water in and out of the structure. Now the veterans are pushing the U.S. government to help with their radiation health-related woes. Good luck with that, brothers. It's clear the workers were given inadequate protection from photos of the cleanup, which now show them laboring shirtless and with basic tools. Griego from Albuquerque, New Mexico says chronic intestinal disease, malarian poisoning, weak bones, and infertility issue are among the legacies of his service. The entire time I was there, I never saw anyone wearing a hazmat suit, he said. We were not provided any radiation safety gear, not even a pair of ordinary garden gloves. We collected the toxic soil sampling mostly with our bare hands. Within our survivor group, we lose 6 to 8 men each year to cancer and other radiation-related illnesses. Bolton from Mobile, Alabama, blames the radiation for his arthritis, calcium bone loss, Barrett's esophagus, diverticular disease. I don't know what that means. Diverticular disease, maybe heart disease, high blood pressure, and neuropathy. He added, of our 8,033 mission participants, only 600 have been accounted for. Wow. 35 of those are deceased. 11 died in our group. After our group was founded, and about half of our group believe we have health challenges from our mission at Inuwatuk Atoll. Experts agree that the danger The degree of danger posed by the Anahuac radiation is dependent on how much escapes and is ingested. But if radioactivity is sufficiently released and transported into food or water, or gives rise to exposure by some other means, then the hazard is highly relative, he continued. Highly. I don't know about you guys, but that is just offensive how, I don't know, not freaked out these people are that are involved in this. Professor Patrick Reagan, a radiation expert with the University of Surrey, said the main health risk was likely to be stochastic, meaning an increase in one's lifetime risk of developing cancer. Oh, yes. So they actually have a word for it. Instead of just saying you're going to get cancer, it means don't worry, you're going to get it when you're older. So we'll just call it something that sounds, you know, stochastic. You have a stochastic disease. The units we use for the radiation exposure are called sieverts, he said. One sievert across the body won't kill you, but it will give you radiation syndrome. It's supposed to increase your biological risk of getting cancer by about 5%. However, he added, it would be impossible to tell whose cancer developed because of their exposure and whose would have developed anyway. It's the anyway factor. These people make me want to spit nails. This is just so outrageous. The problem is that you cannot differentiate those people from the rest of the population, he said. You cannot say that there are that this many people, that many of them get cancer anyway, and one additional would get cancer because of their exposure, because you can't tell which one it was. That's actually so completely illogical. That is just so outrageous. You actually can do a study of people who are exposed to radioactivity and have a test group of people who are not exposed to radioactivity and follow them for 10 years and then just compare the levels of cancer and ill health and all this other stuff that happens. So that's what this is all about, making us. This was in Papua New Guinea today. And this is about as honest as I've seen it. There was another story from the Daily Mail in England talking about the same thing. This is their title. Radioactive waste. They put the whole thing in one little nutshell in their title. Radioactive waste from 43 nuclear explosions is leaking into the Pacific because a reinforced concrete dome built by the U.S. military on an island to store it is disappearing under the sea. And actually, I think one of the things that both these stories, I don't know if this story talks about it. I don't think it talks about that the United States has basically told the Marshallese, I think I reported on this about a year ago, the United States has basically told the Marshallese, they're done. This is theirs to maintain. They can't keep doing this. I think that's one of the things they're fighting them in court about, because the United States has basically brushed its hands and said, we're not doing it. So most of this is the same thing. Yeah, it's not quite the exact same story, but it pretty much is. So that doesn't give us any information on the United States' stance, but I think that is a fact, that they basically have told the Marshall Islands that they're responsible for maintaining the dome, and they don't have money to maintain it. In fact, this dome, if it's only 19 inches thick, ought to be 25 inches thick. And it's been leaking since the beginning, folks. 43 nuclear bombs. And we wonder why we have an increase in cancer, in autism, in fertility problems, heart disease. This is just such a crime against humanity. And the fact that our regulators, the EPA, let me just give you this one. NuScale, you know, the little mini SMRs that we were talking about that we went and protested to not get built here? There's a story in nextbigfuture.com. NuScale factory built modular 50 megawatt nuclear reactors have funding, customers, and some NRC approval. Listen to what they say in this story. NuScale Power has more than $700 million in government and private investment, and they have a customer. A consortium of municipal utilities in six western states, that includes us, they plan on roping us into this, hope to cut out 12 of the 50 megawatt reactors in Idaho to create a 600 megawatt power plant for a bargain price, because Idaho wants to build this. They are actually doing it. Compared with other nuclear facilities, $2.85 billion. In January, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, listen to this, ruled that the design of the NuScale reactor, which relies on air circulation for cooling, is so safe it does not need the expensive emergency pumps and backup electrical systems required by big conventional reactors. It because it's just so safe. Do you know what that means? They're going to build a NuScale reactor without any emergency pumps or backup electrical systems. The decision brings NuScale closer than any company in decades to gaining a license to operate an entirely new reactor designed for the U.S. for commercial use. These people in Idaho ought to be jumping up and down about this. And I hope Kevin Blanch is. I'm going to actually send him this story if he hasn't seen it. Because this is gaining speed. People need to start saying no, no, and no. And get people to show up where this is being zoned. NuScale, these rats, they keep going. But this is the state of the nuclear regulatory industry. Just like this, the concrete dome has been leaking ever since it was built. And now the oceans are rising, and it's only 26 inches. And it is, for real, the waste of 43 nuclear bombs is sitting underneath that dome, folks. And we are sitting here acting like we have some time to just waste. I don't know. And I think that's why Guy McPherson, I know a lot of people didn't like Guy coming on the show saying that, you know, we've only got 10 years. But you know what? If something happens to this, maybe that's true, because that is right in the middle of the Pacific. I mean, it's in the South Pacific, actually. So, like, let's just mess up. We've already messed up the Northern Hemisphere. This would really do the Southern, for real. Very dangerous, folks. So then we have another story. Isn't this lovely, just to drink your cup of coffee and listen to me get outraged about all these nuclear liars? This is why people get so, and I don't know, apathetic or just over the top. I don't know. If someone wants to call in and have that discussion or any discussion, you know, you can call in. The number is 718-717-8106. And I think that I actually think that I put this on so that I could hear the phone call, because that's happened last time where I didn't hear somebody. So I found some other stories that I do want to share with you about this, because this goes along with the whole theme. This is the whole theme of the deal. As we're on a need-to-know basis. And if they kill us, that's just the way it is, because they get to do what they want. No regard for the planet. No regard for anything that is alive and important other than their profits. This is so outrageous that our government did this so long ago. And, you know, we've actually told them, sorry, we're not dealing with it. And we have Mad Dog Mattis running our government. I mean, this is just so outrageous. I mean, with Jim Kelly next to whispering in Trump's ear, Jim Kelly is a big, huge white supremacist. He is a liar on top of a liar. I mean, isn't that his name, Jim Kelly? What's his name, Kelly? General Kelly, but I forget what his first name is. Anyways, did you hear the good news? It's so-called good news. It's kind of good pill, bad pill. EPA wants to do partial excavation of contaminants at radioactive Westlake landfill supersite by Bryce Gray at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch 15 hours ago. So this is good news, bad news, but they have, like, again, negotiated down to the detriment of the people that live in St. Louis. It was a negotiated budget deal. It's so infuriating. In a long-awaited decision that appears to be a compromise, the EPA on Thursday recommended partial excavation of the Westlake landfill in Bridgeton to remove radioactive waste linked to the Manhattan Project. The EPA said the proposed remedy, which calls for excavation plus, is expected to take 5 years to implement and will remove the, quote, majority of radioactivity by digging a depth of about 16 feet while installing an engineered cover system for long-term protection. This is outrageous. The consideration here was timing. It certainly was. It was respect to human health that was being protected, EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt told the Dispatch in a phone call Thursday morning. Radioactive waste was dumped illegally in Westlake in the early 1970s, but the landfill wasn't placed on the Superfund National Priority List until 1990. Today, the landfill is largely regarded as one of the high-profile and complex Superfund sites in the country, and in December was named one of 21 nationwide to be targeted for immediate, intense action by the EPA Superfund Task Force. Though area residents and others awaited patiently for a cleanup strategy to finally emerge, for years many have pushed fervently for a single maximum protective option, full excavation and off-site removal of the landfill's contaminants, the most thorough and expensive option the EPA had considered. Meanwhile, companies such as Republic Services, which operates the landfill through a subsidiary and is one of the entities responsible for funding the site's remediation, strongly opposed calls to excavate the landfill and instead supported a capping, quote, capping strategy as a preferred remedial action. Other entities potentially on the hook for the cleanup cost, including the U.S. Department of Energy and Chicago-based Exelon Corp, whose subsidiary ComEd once owned uranium processor Cotter Corp. The proposal announced Thursday falls in between those wishes of the most vocal community members and industrial interests. A cap is not sufficient to protect the health of citizens in the area, Pruitt said. Other options weighed by the EPA included an enhanced capping strategy that would meet federal standards for uranium radiation control, a full excavation alternative with disposal of radioactive material in an on-site storage cell, or varying degrees of partial excavation. Another partial excavation scenario would have removed material at any depth until a certain concentration of radioactive contamination was reached. The option ranged in cost from estimates of $75 million for the basic capping remedy to $695 million for full excavation combined with off-site disposal. That is a bargain, if they could do it for that. The selected remedy was projected to a cost of $236 million and will include the enhanced cap, EPA officials said. That is outrageous. So let's give you a third of what you need. That's it. That's good enough. A third. A feasibility study released in the months leading up to the proposal estimated that the 16-foot partial excavation strategy would remove 27% of radiologically impacted material from the site. With the announcement, however, agency officials said that removing the material would address the bulk, about 70%, of the landfill's total radioactivity. Pruitt said the agency would take public comment to help determine whether the material is eventually disposed of on-site or off-site containment cells. I am dumbfounded by this. I mean, I don't know about you, but the difference between a feasibility study saying 27% and Pruitt saying 70%, and the feasibility said 27%, that's a huge disparity. That's big. That's not even like halfway close. So I wonder where Pruitt got his information from. What makes him say that? Some in the community who followed the issue said that the proposed measure does not go far enough. No kidding, I'm on that side. Partial removal is not acceptable, said Ed Smith, policy director with the Missouri Coalition for the Environment, in a statement. It means high levels of radioactivity will be left behind with the potential for water and airborne contamination into the future, creating unnecessarily long-term risk to the St. Louis region and everybody down south of the Mississippi. Have you seen where this is? It's right on the Missouri River, like, boom, feeds right into the Mississippi. It's outrageous, you guys. Others were more supportive of the proposal and said it was a, quote, encouraging change of direction from the agency. You know, something is better than nothing. I do give you that one. The major victory is that we heard a lot of acknowledgement from EPA that this waste is dangerous and needs to be removed from your community. That's true. She's right, said Dawn Chapman, co-founder of Moms STL, a group of resident activists focusing on the landfill that contains radioactive waste. This is a far cry from the conversation that was happening 5 years ago. Chapman was among a group of concerned citizens who spent Thursday morning discussing the proposal in person with agency officials, including Albert Kelly, a top advisor to Pruitt, and the chairman of the Superfund Task Force. Albert Kelly. I'm going to write that down. Wonder if he's related to General Kelly. That'd be interesting to find out. A top advisor to Pruitt and chairman of the Superfund Task Force. There's no doubt from what he said that they'd been lobbied hard to make a different decision, Chapman said. Overall, I feel like we're in good hands now. Sorry, Don. That makes me laugh. Really? Oh, my God. You're easy to satisfy. That is hilarious. Okay. Pruitt said that although deeper radioactive contamination occurs 40 to 80 feet beneath the landfill surface, it does not pose a public health risk. And according... okay. Pruitt said that although deeper radioactive contamination occurs 40 to 80 feet beneath the landfill's surface, it does not pose a public health risk, and according to agency technicians, removing it could possibly trigger a new subsurface fire. So it's already in a dangerous place, so let's just keep it buried and wait for it to explode again. As we looked at going deeper than we are now, we had to ask the question, is it necessary to protect health and does it pose other risks and dangers, said Pruitt. We absolutely, through this process, thought through all those options and we have come down exactly the amount of depth we need to go to achieve protection and also not to create new issues and new concerns for the people in the community. He said he was also concerned by the extra decade that deeper excavations were expected to take for completion. The proposal I saw that was around 14 to 15 years, and that's something I thought was simply not acceptable, Pruitt said. It did not provide that kind of certainty to the community. Reactions from area politicians range from disappointment that full removal of contamination was not pursued to relief that the EPA was at last advancing towards a plan of action at the site. U.S. Representative William Lacey Clay, a Democrat of St. Louis, called the decision a huge victory for our long-suffering community. Representative Ann Wagner, Republican of Baldwin, applauded the EPA for proposing a viable permanent solution. But St. Louis County Executive Steve Stenger said he was disappointed in the EPA's proposal, saying that the agency should have elected to excavate and remove all hazardous materials from the Westlake landfill. Steve Stenger. St. Louis Mayor Lydia Crewson said she was briefed Thursday morning by several EPA officials, in part because the city-owned St. Louis Lambert International Airport is close to the site, folks. So if you go to St. Louis, do not be driving around because you're exposed to radioactive contamination there. Okay, let's get back to this. She said the city will have to work out an agreement with the Department of Energy, Republic, and others involved entities regarding bird migration to ensure that uncovering garbage at the landfill won't attract birds that could interfere with aircraft serving Lambert. What about their exposure to radioactivity? Wow, I had to take a drink of water. Sorry, guys. On with the story. We have time to finish it. Manhattan Project Legacy. The radioactive contamination at the site traces its origins to the development of nuclear weapons through the Manhattan Project in World War II, which used uranium process at the Mallinckrodt Chemical Works factory north of downtown St. Louis. In 1973, about 8,700 tons of bleached barium sulfate from the weapons program was mixed with approximately 38,000 tons of contaminated soil and used to cover trash being dumped at the landfill, according to the EPA. The process of settling a cleanup strategy also stretches back decades. After years of analysis, a decision to place a cap over the landfill was seemingly reached in 2008, record of decision from the EPA, before public outcry pressured the agency to reevaluate. That record of decision had not regarded groundwater as a potential pathway for contamination, although the unlined landfill rests above a porous layer of gravel in the floodplain of the Missouri River. Wow. In the years to follow, the site took on new levels of notoriety and public concern when a smoldering underground fire was detected at the adjacent Bridgeton landfill in 2010. Okay, now, the fire, officially referred to as a subsurface smoldering event, is still burning a couple of hundred yards away from areas of known radioactive contamination. With Thursday's newly proposed remedy, the agent has now taken a major step, perhaps the biggest step, towards producing another record of decision for the site. By Tuesday, a formal notice was published and supporting documents that guided the decision will be available. The proposal will be subject to a period of public comment before any decision is finalized. People will be able to submit comments by mail, email, or online, or in person at a March 6th meeting in Bridgeton. I do want to emphasize this is a proposal, Pruitt said. We may learn many things throughout this decision that inform this process. That process is likely to attract a storm of comments from both citizens and entities paying for the cleanup, formally identified as potentially responsible parties, or PRPs. Depending on the amount of feedback received, that final decision could still be months away or beyond. The path is beginning. Implementation of a final record of decision could take years, Public Services said in a statement on Thursday. From here, we will participate fully with the EPA's comment period, as well as engage vigorously with the EPA and the other PRPs, that means the Department of Energy, to ensure that the final remedy performed is based on science and is fully protective of human health. You liars. If you cared about human health, you'd start moving that stuff right now. A spokesman of the Department of Energy did not respond for a request for comment. Cotter, in a statement, said that the company will continue to work towards a science-based solution that protects the health and safety of the local community. You lying snake. Community members are also preparing to make their voices heard in the comment period, including those still advocating for full excavation of the site's contamination. Hear, hear. If people around St. Louis agree that while they're digging, they should get it all, hopefully we get a massive public comment. If the people, let me read that again by Smith. If people around St. Louis agree that while they're digging, they should get it all, hopefully we get a massive public comment, Smith said. Chapman said that while EPA officials noted they are confident there is sufficient scientific evidence to fend off challenges to the proposal, she has some concern about the well-funded opposition hindering it from crossing the finish line. There's a lot of that this community still faces with this site, Chapman said. We have an even bigger battle now to make sure this happens. Yeah, talk is cheap. I mean, they're getting it. That is for sure. And the money that Republic Services, did you notice the hints that Republic Services told us that they're going to do? I mean, they are from here. We will participate fully in the EPA's comment period as well as engage vigorously with the EPA's. This means engage vigorously means they're going to keep asking for delays as long as possible. That's part of this whole thing. If you can ask for a delay, the NRC considers it very seriously. Donna Gilmore said something like that. Like, if you can get these decision makers to delay, you can stop projects. Because it costs money to delay projects. So that's what this is about. That's what they're saying there. They have no regard. And the responsible PRPs, the DOD, you think they want to pay for this? Heck no, because then that means they have to admit that this stuff is completely horrible. Again, here we have, did we get to the Fukushima thing? Yeah, I think we did. No, we didn't. So, this Fukushima, the news in Fukushima, it's 8:38. We have time. This came out 6 hours ago. I mean, for real, folks, World War III has started. We are at a time where we have to just realize that this is what we have to face. And frankly, I think everybody should be composting. The eternal optimist in me. Like, I think that our Mother Earth, that we know how to do this. We need microbes. We need fungus to grow. We need to help ourselves. And then we need, like, the chemtrailing, the geoengineering, climate interference or something. I think I read that. They're calling it climate interference. Really? That's what they're calling those airplanes in the sky. It's part of a climate interference intervention. It's climate intervention program. So this came out from 6 hours ago on The Independent. Fukushima nuclear disaster. Lethal levels of radiation detected in leak. 7 years after after plant meltdown in Japan. Lethal levels of radiation have been detected at Japan's Fukushima nuclear power plant 7 years after it was destroyed by an earthquake and tsunami. And nuclear meltdowns. Hello. God dang, they missed that part. They forgot to mention that part. The Tokyo Electric Power Company, which operated the complex and is now responsible for its cleanup, made the discovery in a reactor containment vessel last month. The energy firm found 8 sieverts per hour of radiation, while 42 units were also detected outside his foundation. Huh. So they found a higher level outside. A sievert is defined as the probability of cancer induction and genetic damage from exposure, a dose of radiation by the International Commission on Radiological Protection, ICRP. One sievert is thought to carry with it a 5.5% chance of eventually developing cancer. One sievert. So they found 8 sieverts. So that's more than what they're saying, like a 50% chance, right? Something like that. 49% chance of catching cancer. Experts told Japanese state broadcasters at the NHK World that exposure to the volume of radiation for just an hour would kill, while another warned that leaks would lead to a, quote, global catastrophe if not tackled properly. Let me just tell you that again. Experts told Japanese state broadcaster NHK World that exposure to the volume radiation for just an hour could kill, while warned the leaks could lead to a global catastrophe if not properly tackled. Doing hello. That's what we've been saying for 7 years. It came as TEPCO said the problem of contaminated water pooled around the plant's 3 reactors that is seeping into the ground has caused a major headache in its efforts to decommission the plant. It's not decommissioning a plant, you guys. It's cleaning up a nuclear meltdown. There's a whole lot different. Thousands of workers have been hired by the company to it as it attempts to secure the plant, which was the scene of the most serious nuclear accident since Chernobyl in 1986. 3 of its reactors went into a meltdown after the earthquake and tsunami, which killed at least 15,000 people. TEPCO has admitted that it could be until 2020 until the contamination issue is resolved. Are you kidding me? Only then it can move on to the second stage of removing nuclear debris at the site, including damaged reactors. Is TEPCO really saying that in less than 2 years they are going to deal with the contamination issue? They just found how much at the nuclear power plant? 8 sieverts per hour? Like, you'll be dead in a little tiny bit. Richard Black, director of the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit, said the high levels of radiation found in and around the reactor last month were expected and unlikely to pose a danger. Okay. He told The Independent, although the radiation levels identified are high, the threat to human health is very unlikely because apart from workers on the site, no one goes there. What about the workers? They go there, brother. The high readings from fuel debris would be expected. The higher readings from the foundations, if confirmed, would be more of a concern as the cause is at present unclear. But as officials indicate, it might not be a genuine reading anyway. You know why they said it wasn't a genuine reading? Because there was still a cap on the thing. What this does demonstrate is that 7 years after the disaster, cleaning up the Fukushima site remains a massive challenge and one that we're going to be reading about for decades, never mind years. But Michael Schneider, an independent energy consultant and lead author of the World Nuclear Industry Status Report, said that TEPCO hasn't a clue what it is doing in its job to decommission the plant. Wow. That's kind of a shock. He added that the contaminated water that is leaking at the site could end up in the ocean if the ongoing treatment project fails and cause a global disaster, he told The Independent. Finding high readings in the reactor is normal. It's where the molten fuel is. It would be bizarre if it wasn't. I find it symptomatic of the past 7 years in that what they don't know what they're doing. TEPCO, those energy companies, haven't a clue what they're doing. So to me, it's going wrong from the beginning. It's a disaster of unseen proportions. Mr. Schneider added that the radiation leaks coupled with the waste from the plant stored in an inappropriate way in tanks could have global consequences. This is an area of the plant that gets hit by tornadoes and all kinds of heavy weather patterns, which is a problem. When you have waste stored above ground in inappropriate ways, it can get washed out and you can get contamination all over the place. This can get problematic any time. If it contaminates the ocean, there is no local contamination. The ocean is global, and so anything that goes into the ocean goes to everyone. He added, it needs to be clear that this problem is not gone. This is not just a local problem. This is a major thing. The Independent contacted TEPCO for comment, but the energy giant has not yet responded as of the time of this publication. Wow. This is serious, folks. And then, I mean, when you think about it, I'm going to see if I can open that link on the NHK World if it's in English. Between the concrete dome, the EPA leaving their nuclear waste right in the middle of it. I mean, NuScale getting contracts where they say they don't have to have safety backup, no emergency pumps, no electrical systems, no safety backup at all. The NRC is just allowing it in the face of all of this. I find that shocking. Listen to this. High radiation detected at Fukushima plant, NHK. What was the date of this? Maybe it'll tell us at the bottom. It doesn't, but this is the link from that story. The operator of the crippled Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant has released the results of its latest probe on the site. The remote-controlled inspection of the Unit 2 reactor containment vessel last month detected a maximum of 8 sieverts per hour of radiation. Experts say each exposure to such radiation for about an hour would be fatal. Experts say exposure to such radiation for about an hour would be fatal. In that other story, would they say no harm to human health? Officials from the Tokyo Electric Power Plant released results on Thursday. They said the radiation readings taken near what appeared to be the fuel debris, the term used to describe the mixture of molten fuel and broken interior parts. The findings show that nearly 7 years after the meltdowns, radiation levels remain so high that they present a major challenge to decommissioning work. During the probe, 42 sieverts per hour was also detected outside the foundations of the reactor. But officials say they have doubts about the accuracy of the reading, listen to this, because a cover had not been removed from the measuring instrument at the time. So there was a cover on top of it and still read 42 sieverts outside the foundation and 8 sieverts inside reactor 2. Listen to that. That is actually shocking. They added that they don't know why the radiation levels were lower near the suspected fuel debris than around the foundations. I wonder why. They made a number of possible reasons, such as that the cooling water may have washed radioactive material off the debris. You think so? TEPCO's chief decommissioning officer, Nahiro Masuda, says the company will develop the debris removal technology based on the outcome of the investigation. Oh my gosh. You know, the Japanese should not be in on this alone. The Marshallese should not be in on this alone. The people in St. Louis ought not to be alone. We're spending how many billions, how much money, how much billions are we sending to the military every year? To do what? So one Mad Dog Mattis can have his own private jet? And he can have his own private golf course? How much money do we spend on the military? I'm going to find that out. I know it's gazillions. $601 billion. That's what we spend on our military, and they want more. $601 billion. And we have this going on, Fukushima. This is a worldwide catastrophe. I mean, if we could, you know, get all of our resources, all of our, I mean, the people in St. Louis should not have to go. I mean, what I hear in this story, Pruitt's saying, is that if we move any of that debris at the base, at the very base, it might actually cause more problems. I wonder what's down there. Why don't they tell us exactly full disclosure? What are they saying? I think what they're saying is that they think it will blow up if they move it. Because that thing's down there and there's, you know, it's a mixture of things. It's not just radioactive waste. That's what makes the Westlake landfill so dangerous. It's a mixture of, you know, Superfund site waste plus radioactivity, which is outrageous. And then we have the ever, liberal nation, the nation. Ray Acheson wrote this. Resisting nuclear weapons means resisting injustice and oppression. Nuclear arsenals are part of a broader system of patriarchy, racism, militarism, and capitalism. And what about ignoring radioactive waste, brother? I mean, for real. I can't read this story because it completely ignores the eyesore. We don't need nuclear weapons. I mean, honestly, this kind of a story makes me just spit nails at the so-called liberal agenda. Because we have nuclear war going on. It's called Fukushima, St. Louis, Hanford. I mean, it is outrageous. The Marshall Islands, 43 nuclear bombs exploded in one little atoll. They put a cap on it that's less than 25 inches thick. And now they're just walking away from it. The United States military, we're spending $600 billion. That is just beyond outrageous. You know, I don't know how we can just allow, you know, I don't know how we can stop it. That's, I guess that's the bigger lesson, right? Like, yeah, just try to stop it. This machine is going on its own. I mean, they're just, you know, here's this other story that I thought was interesting. How Congress's extension of Section 702 may expand the NSA's warrantless surveillance authority. This has a lot of impact to me and you because we're talking about the N-word, the new N-word, nuclear. You're not allowed to say that and say that nuclear is bad and this is killing us, that this is going to be a disaster. If we continue to ignore Fukushima, it is going to be a disaster that it's already a disaster we can't really fix. Maybe that's why they're not looking at it. I don't know. I think if they did look at it, maybe we could fix it. We could figure something out. But what they're doing here, just leaving the Japanese to like doing the doing, doing. I mean, they're all, imagine this. We've got scientists living in that area near the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, whose brains are being literally fried by radioactive contamination, being held responsible for the ones to fix the solution. There's no guiding force outside there, outside of that area. It's them. It's the blind leading the blind, the sick making an effort to find their own cure. It's so outrageous. I mean, it's beyond outrageous. They knew exactly what they were doing. There was a story I saw that said they refused to do safety testing 5 or 6 years earlier. They just refused to do it. They were told to do it. They were told to do it, and they didn't. So, but this story is a pretty shocking one about the NSA coming to take away our rights to just live and not be spied on. Last month, Congress reauthorized Section 702, the controversial law the NSA uses to conduct some of the most invasive electronic surveillance. With Section 702 set to expire, Congress has a golden opportunity to fix the worst flaws in the NSA surveillance program and protect Americans' Fourth Amendment right to privacy. Instead, it re-upped Section 702 for 6 more years. But the bill passed by Congress and signed by the President labeled Section 139 didn't just extend Section 702's duration, it also may expand the NSA's authority in subtle but dangerous ways. The reauthorization marks the first time that Congress passed legislation that explicitly acknowledges and codifies some of the most controversial aspects of the NSA's surveillance program, including about collection and backdoor searches. That will give the government more legal ammunition to defend these programs in court, in Congress, and to the public. It also suggests ways for the NSA to loosen its already lax self-imposed restraints on how it conducts surveillance. This is background of Section 702, and I don't know if you guys know about it, but I'm not going to read the whole thing because we've only got 5 minutes. This was that whole thing about them taking it. Okay, codified. One key area about the new authorization could expand the Section 702 is the practice commonly known as about collection or abouts collection in the language of the new law. For years, when the NSA conducted its upstream surveillance of the internet backbone, it collected not just communication to and from a selector like an email address, but also messages that merely mention the selector in the body message. This is a staggeringly broad dragnet tactic. Have you ever written someone's phone number inside of an email to someone else? If that number was on an NSA selector, your email would have been collected, though neither you nor the email's recipient was an NSA target. Have you ever mentioned someone's email address through a chat service at work? If that email address was an NSA selector, your chat could have been collected too. About collections involves scanning and collections of contents of Americans' Fourth Amendment protected communications without a warrant. That's unconstitutional, and the NSA should never have been allowed to do it in the first place. Unfortunately, the FISC and the oversight bodies tasked with overseeing Section 702 surveillance often ignore major constitutional issues. So the FISC permitted about collection to go on for years, even though the collection continued to raise complex legal and technical problems. In 2011, the FISC warned the NSA against collecting too many non-targeted protected communications, in part due to about collections. Then the court imposed limits on upstream, including on how about communications were handled. When the Private and Civil Liberties Oversight Board issued the Miliskitos report on Section 702 in 2014, it said that the about collection pushed the entire program close to the line of constitutional reasonableness. For its part, the NSA asserted that the about collection was necessary technically to ensure the agency actually collected all the to and from communication what it was supposedly entitled to. In the April 2017, we learned that the NSA's technical and legal problems with the about collection were even more pervasive than previously disclosed, and it had not been complying with the FISC's already permissible limits. As a result, the NSA publicly announced it was ending about collections entirely. This was something of a victory. Oh my gosh, I don't think we're going to get to it. Yeah, so we've only have 30 seconds. This reauthorization codifies this controversial practice. So there's a lot going on, you guys. And I hope, Barry, I hope you feel better. And I encourage everyone to take some action, get engaged in this. We can't just let them, like, destroy whatever levels of freedom we have left. Put your courage feet on and take action, you guys. Talk to you Monday.